Zoom. Now we're going to be in 1 Timothy, and we're continuing as we are in chapter 4. We're looking tonight at the verses 11 to 16. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, 11 to 16. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. God always blesses the public reading of his word. We pray he'll do that tonight and speak powerfully to each of us who are here and those on Zoom as well, that God will speak through his word to us tonight. You know, Timothy is being given a great task, as we have thought about. He is being given a task to keep in Ephesus, as we have thought in recent times in our studies, and provide leadership and provide direction to a church, an assembly of God's people that desperately needs it. There is, it seems, a lot of problems. False teaching has come around, and some of those who have taught have been handed over, to use Paul's words in verse 20 of chapter 1. Hymenaeus and Alexander have been handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so they were teachers amongst the Ephesians assembly. And many would think they were probably elders in the assembly as well. Hence the need and why it is put that there must be qualified elders. And the qualifications for overseers are in chapter 3. The task seems daunting, doesn't it? If we put ourselves in this situation. Here's Timothy, a relatively young man. Well, under 40 years old, I'll suggest anyway. I don't know if you'd call that young or not. But anyway, he's a young man. There'll be many older than him there. And he is facing this task. And there's a call for him to do it. And to do it well. To be a godly servant. That's the words that Paul used. Or a good servant of Christ Jesus. Up in verse 6 of chapter 4. Put these things before the brothers and you will be a good servant. He needs to be a good servant. And I assume, I take it for as a given, I'm sure we are, that we all want to be good servants of Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ want to be a good servant of him. And so tonight we're going to think how Paul writes to Timothy. I've put it into three marks of a godly servant, and that might help us think our way through this passage tonight. There's some things which are very particular to Timothy, of course, but there are some things that are general principles that apply for each and every one of us who are believers, that we might be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Timothy's called to be a man of courage, to not evade responsibility. And I trust by God's grace he rises to the challenge, that he would have a transforming impact. You know, you think of this assembly, and you think, well, would I want to be there? Would I want to be given this role that Timothy has been given? And I think you'd be a bit shaken about the thought of doing that. But Paul gives him instruction how he can have a transforming impact. And we'll think of these biblical principles then. Three marks of a godly servant. And number one is this. that Timothy must be an example in godly living. We'll see, first of all, verse 11, he is commanded to command and teach these things, Paul says to him. The instruction that Paul has given must be delivered. It must be handed on. There's instructions to be handed on to the assembly at Ephesus. The truth about these false teachers and their teaching. The truth about eldership. The truth about godliness. All these things and others must be handed on by Timothy to all the assembly at Ephesus. Command. The sense is there of an authoritative voice done in a command mode. Timothy's not making suggestions, not making recommendations. He's to go with a boldness and authority. And the authority is not in himself, of course, it is from the very word of God. And that's all the authority ever is from, isn't it? Tonight, we come under the authority of God's word as we listen to it. When we ever reread God's word, we come under the authority of it. The authority isn't in me of myself, obviously. The authority is in the message given by God, delivered by his messenger. So it's to be authoritative, and it is to be taught, to be explained. So commands are given. But why do we have these commands? Well, teach these things. Do that, Timothy. Now, to make sure, or to endeavour that people will pay attention to you, Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. And you think, well, how? How can you make sure that no one despises you for your youth? How can you be in control of what other people think about you? How could I be in control if people are going to despise me or not? Well, ultimately, what they think is what they think. But to do the best that you can and to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must, he says, set an example. Set an example to the people. And to show that your teaching is followed in your life. That you aren't just a man who teaches the word of God, who brings it before the people of God, but you are a person who lives it out in your living in every single area of your life. It's not a call for a sinless life. That's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible to live a sinless life. There's only one man who has ever lived and will ever live a sinless life upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a call for Timothy to live a life that is out without reproach. And one of the qualities we thought about an elder, not that they would be sinless, but they would be blameless, that they would be without reproach. And so Timothy, if you're going to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must set an example. You must set an example. I think all of us appreciate examples being set to us, don't we? In all areas of life. In all areas of life. If we see it, we kind of understand it a bit better, don't we? I mean, that's just in the simple things of life. Some of you know that I like running, and some of you know I've been injured over different times. And I've got a little book at home, and there's this little book I was reading the other day, and just all it had was the writing of how to do an exercise. And I was reading this and I thought, I can't do that. But I've seen the physio do it, and he showed me how to do it. And that, in 1 minute, was worth 10 minutes of rereading how to do that. I couldn't grasp how to do it. But he showed me how to do an exercise. We appreciate examples. We understand, don't we? Equally, if someone tells us to do something but they themselves are not following it, that's difficult to take on board, isn't it? Difficult to take on board if, you know, someone says different things what we should do and think, hey, you're not doing that yourself. I remember years ago when I used to work offshore and used to have to go for an offshore medical every 3 years or 2 years, I can't remember exactly. And they kind of always like to say something, you know, to improve, you know. So I was there before the medical staff, who did all the heights, the weights and all this. He sat me down, and BMI index and all this, and he says, yeah, I think you could really benefit through losing about half a stone in weight. Fair enough. But as to look at this man, and I don't want to sort of be cheeky or anything, I thought, well, you could probably lose a couple of more stone, to be frank. I didn't say that to him, you understand that. But I found it very difficult for someone who was about 2 stone at least overweight to tell me that I must lose half a stone in weight. You know, bad examples can be powerful as good examples can be. And so when we see, especially in godly living, examples being set before us, it speaks powerfully to us. And so that is why Paul says to Timothy, be this example, and people will more likely follow you. People will more likely take what you are saying on board. You will be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have a testimony both inside and outside as well. You know, I remember when I came to Aberdeenshire, and that was about 30 years ago now. Well, yeah, it was nearly 30 years ago. And I remember the example that, and I was a lot younger then, obviously, in my mid-20s. And I remember the example of young men in the assembly where I was in Inverurie. They're all older now as well, obviously. But there were a couple of good friends, and they still are good friends, who set me a tremendous example in the reading and in the studying of God's word. And the material they then supplied me with, which enabled me to read and understand more of the word of God. That was a tremendous example to me. And something, I hope in some degree, I was able to take on board. That example has lived with me for decades. It's a powerful example. It wasn't any good. We can tell people to read and study God's word. But when you see someone doing it as well, that impacts you as well. And that was an example set for me in my younger life. Now, there's 5 areas where Timothy is told he must be an example. Of course, this isn't exhaustive of every area we could be an example in, but it's helpful for us to look at these 5 areas. Speech. It's interesting that that's the first thing on the list, isn't it? We all use words every day, and we can use words to be a blessing to others or something of the opposite. They can build up, they can comfort, they can encourage, they can challenge in the right way, they can admonish, they can rebuke, and all those things can be the necessary use of words. But Timothy, as you speak, watch your speech. Think about why you say something. What's your motive? Is it to help others? Is it to help? Or is it to make yourself look good and raise yourself about them? Think about why you say what you say. You know, these things come before us tonight when we think about speech. I know that all of us will have, probably in the last week, let's be fair, said something and think, I wish I hadn't have said that, or wish I hadn't have said it like that, wish I'd have said something different, or maybe actually wish I had have said something when I didn't say anything. And so we should think about speech, what we say, not just why we say it, what we say it, when we say it. You know, when we say things can be very important. Sometimes it's not advice that people need, is it? It's just sympathy. Sometimes it's not instruction. It's just a gentle word of listening, showing that you're listening. There are times necessary when instruction and advice can come, but we need to think about and have wisdom about when we say things. How we say it. How we say it is important, isn't it? The tone we use even the body language we have when we speak. You know, my main advisor in life sometimes tells me that I speak a bit harshly, you see. And I say, I don't mean to, I'm not meaning to speak harshly, that's just how I do. So I try to work on that. And all of us, hopefully, are aware in some ways where we need to work on our speech. How we say things is important, isn't it? Can come across wrong. You think, well, I didn't mean it to come across like that, but that's it. And who we say it to, who we speak to, and what we say. Gossip and flattery are both sinful, and we shouldn't indulge in either. We shouldn't indulge in either. And perhaps oftentimes it would seem that gossip is more of a problem for people than flattery is. So Timothy, set the example of speech. Be careful in all that you say. You know, someone said to me recently about speech, and a good illustration. You know, speech, words are like toothpaste. You say, how so? Well, they can come out of the... What's the thing we use to put it out? Oh, I don't know what we use it is. They can come out of the tube very easily, can't they? Try and get it back in. Try and get the toothpaste back in. You can't. Once we say something, the words are out there. We need to be careful, don't we? Timothy, set an example in speech. Set an example in conduct, your behaviour. Live out your teaching. Consistent conduct. In every area of life, it's not to be one thing when the saints gather in the assembly, another thing when you gather with your friends, another thing when you gather at work, another thing in the public marketplace. Timothy, there is to be consistency in your behaviour. Not one standard in one place, another standard in another place. Set the believers an example in how you live your whole life. Be a person of integrity. Integrity. So that your behaviour can be seen to be consistent in every area of life. And lived out in accordance with the instruction of God's word. In the small areas and in the big areas. So when the book of God tells us to be submit to the authorities, we do that because we want consistent behaviour, because God says to, and also we set an example in conduct. In love, people, Timothy, as people look at you, let them see biblical love. Now, if we went into the world now and said, what is love? Not Don Dawes. Well, I don't know if we can go around doing that. But if we did, what is love? Well, how would you define love? The definitions, in many instances, would be removed from the biblical definition of love is. Be more emotions. Now, love does involve emotions, obviously. But Timothy, have sacrificial living. Sacrificial living on behalf of others. So that your love is displayed in the actions that you do. The time you invest in others, the time you spend in serving others, the effort you put in, even the finance that you use, show that you love others by your actions. Show that you love by your actions. Don't just serve, Timothy, when it's comfortable, when you feel like serving. No, Timothy, serve when it causes disruption, when it causes you to go out of your comfort zone. Love others. Put others ahead of you in the rank of how you are going to serve. You know, sometimes when we think of these things, we think of big actions that we might be committing. You know, people have absolutely laid their lives down in a big action for someone, and we commend that, and absolutely we do. But you know, to love others and to love the saints in the assembly of God's people is a sort of daily, weekly thing, and sometimes those small little things that we do, in the words that we say, the calls that we make, the appreciation we show, the thanks we show, things like that. Show that you love others. Don't just look for those big one-step things. That's fine. But in that continual act of living out a love for the people of God. Have faith. Show them that you have faith, a commitment to trusting in the Word of God. Let that be seen in your daily living. So whatever God's Word says, you to do that. Now, we, unlike Timothy, have the full canon of Scripture. We have the full Bible with God's character, all he wants us to know about himself, all the commands given to us are here, how he wants us to live. And we're to live our daily lives in faith, trusting in God. Why do I do what I do? Why do I not do what I don't do? Hopefully it's based upon the Word of God. I have faith in what God has told me to do. And finally, in this little thing of being an example, in purity. Now this does primarily, I would suggest, refer to sexual purity. I know some of us, you know, we sort of maybe don't like that word being used, but that's what it primarily refers to. In actions and in thought. In actions and in thought. And to guard yourself with regard to that. Pay a close guard to yourself with regard to that. And we could stop now and speak about this subject for quite some time. And we could speak about what I would call disasters in the evangelical world in this country in the last year or two. And what has it been? It's been sexual purity has been the problem. And it's come out. But that didn't all of a sudden happen in these men's lives, and it can happen in women's lives as well, I understand that. No, there was a gradual decline until it became public. So keep a close guard. Keep a close guard, Timothy. Keep a close guard, brothers and sisters, with regard to sexual purity. It's one of the main areas where your ministry can flounder, where your testimony can be discredited. So be an example. You know, some of us can think of people we know in life, can't we? And they do good impressions, imitations of people. There's one of my dear friends, and he can give great imitations of other people, people you and I would know. And I often think, I wonder what he does for me when I'm not there. But anyway, so that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And you say, yeah, that's just like him. He does it. That's just like him. You know, people should look at our lives, look at your life, and see, that's just like a little bit of Jesus Christ. That's like him. That's what it means to be an imitator. Seeing something of Christ in our lives and how we live our lives. So be an example. Serve Timothy with the God-given gifts that the Lord has given to you. You are to use them for the benefit and the blessing of God's people. Devote yourself. You know, when we think of something devotion, it's not someone's not just got this as a little pastime. A devotion to something brings before us the mind, don't they? They are really absolutely driven by this, what they are going to do. And so use the gifts that you have been given, Timothy, and do this. Devote yourself for public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Now, some of those things were gifts that Timothy had. He had a gift of teaching, obviously, to teach God's Word. But all of us have been gifted by God. There are gifts given to us. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there's a variety of gifts. Romans 12:6 says there are gifts that differ according to the grace given in proportion. So some of us have got gifts and some of us might have a sort of large amount of one gift and not the other. Someone's wanted to help me with this. That gifts can be like an artist's palette. Yeah, I'm no good at art and many other things, but we picture an artist's palette, don't we? With all paint on it. And some of us might have a lot of blue, not much yellow, a little bit of red, and some other colours, whatever they are. And for all of us it might vary. We've been given gifts, different in proportion, but God has given us those gifts for us to use. And unlike the gifts that we give sometimes, or perhaps the gifts I give, let's be personal with this, at Christmas and birthdays, which may not be exactly what the person needs, God has given us the perfect gifts that he wants us to have in his wisdom, to use them for in his service and for the blessing and the benefit of his people. So read scripture publicly. And that would be extremely important in any occasion, but especially when there wasn't sort of the prevalence of Bibles, what we have now, or scriptures, you know, so read it publicly. Very few people in those days would have any portion of the Old Testament or anything like that. So get on with a public reading. Exhort them. Exhort them to do this. Apply the Word of God to the lives of the people and teach them the doctrines concerning God, concerning themselves, what are found within the Bible, so that their actions might be based on truth. Again, why do we do what we do? So Timothy was to do that and not neglect it. Okay, to not neglect that gift that was within him. Now, all of us have been given a gift. It appears that Timothy's gift, as we read there, was there was something about the council of elders laid their hands upon him. There was a, I would see that as an affirmation, a confirmation, that whatever gift God had given to, there was a council of elders and they affirmed that Timothy was gifted. People agreed in his areas of usefulness, in his areas of service. There was that public affirmation of that. Okay. And sometimes people sort of think, well, I don't know what I'm gifted in. I don't know what my gifts are. I find it interesting that we're never told in Scripture to work out what our gifts are. We're never told that. What we are told is that we are gifted. You are all gifted. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are. And you are to use your gifts. So how do we know what we're gifted at? I would say this, and it's really quite basic and simple, is where you see a need, seek to meet that need. Where I see a need, seek to meet that need. Serve in that way. And if you're sort of gifted in that, if you like, then people will recognise that. You know, and you'll be asked to do that again. You'll know. Just but see the need and do it. We don't need to sit around sort of gazing at our navels, wondering what our gift is. We need to be seeking to serve God's people where we see a need. Think, well, I can meet that need, or I'm going to go beyond my comfort zone. I'm going to seek to be a benefit to those people. We'll have a variety of gifts here. And every assembly of the God's people has a variety of gifts. None, I would suggest, more important than the other. Some more publicly prominent, yes. But we should seek to use them. Whatever our gift or whatever our talent is, you must use your gift. And you'll develop it. You'll develop that gift as time goes on. As you use that gift, as you do what you do and how you serve, in whatever way that might be, you will have more wisdom and you will develop that gift. There are some areas we're not gifted in. I'll be honest. Boyer has never asked me to lead the singing on a Sunday morning, ever. And I've not asked him why, but I think I know the answer. Fair enough. You know, I've not been asked to play either. Same reason. You know, but there are things we can all do to be a blessing. Serve the Lord by serving others. Strive to do that. And talking about striving, the last area we're going to think tonight about is this, that Paul says to Timothy, you must strive to progress. Okay, you must strive to progress. Practice these things. Now, if you seek to serve others, as you seek to increase in godliness, your spiritual progress will become evident. It will become evident. You will not be able to hide that. Because this is all about being a godly servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you take pains in these things, your spiritual progression will be obvious to all. So that all, as you see, may see your progress. It's not like you're looking to advertise yourself. But as you increase in godliness, in serving in different ways, it will be obvious your progress that you are making. And Paul exhorts Timothy in what I've called this last section, strive to progress, is for him to practice. The idea is to meditate upon them. Think through what I have been saying and think about implementing these things. Okay, think about it. And we can think in life about ways in which we can serve, to be intentional. Not just waiting around for opportunities, sitting around perhaps for opportunities, but consider what we could do. Think about it and go on for it. Immerse yourself. Be absorbed in what you are doing, in how you are serving. And as we see, the idea then of serving for Timothy and then for us is it's something that we should be absolutely immersed in. Not something that's just a 5 minutes a day activity. Have those desires and act upon them. Have those desires and everyone will see your progress. You know, in the Christian life, we're not meant to get to a certain state and rest on a plateau. We sort of climb up a bit of a hill and then it's a plateau for the rest of our Christian lives. We settle into mediocrity. No, whatever age we're at, the call on us, the call for Paul on Timothy was to strive to progress. Immerse so that all may see your progress. Immerse yourself with regard to godliness. Don't rest on the plateau in regard to godliness and settle into a comfortable rut. But keep seeking to advance in the things of the Lord. You know, I was reading a book just recently, and it was Rico Tice's new book on leadership, and it was speaking about being immersed in something, and he was challenged by a quote, and he shared it, or a conversation, he shared it in this book, and I was challenged as well, so I think, well, I'll pass it on to you, and so you can be as well. Very helpful. He said this: failure is not a lack of success. Failure is not a lack of success, but succeeding in those things that do not matter. And it challenges us, doesn't it? Are we seeking to be successful, or is that our ultimate goal, in things that do not matter? And so, in closing, Paul says, with regard to godliness, there's two things. One, keep a close watch on, look how he says it, firstly, yourself. So if we are going to be godly servants of Christ Jesus, to use the language in verse 6, we must, Timothy, you must, first of all, pay a close watch upon yourself. If you're going to be of any spiritual help to others, then you must look to see how your progression is. Your personal holiness should be your priority. Your personal holiness should be a priority. You know, friends, we are in a battle, aren't we? is the flesh, is the world, the devil himself. And they all will strive against us developing godliness. All will. And so we must keep a close watch on ourselves. You know, sometimes it can be we can keep a closer watch on others than we do ourselves. But firstly and primarily, keep a close watch on yourself so that we don't drift away. You know, when I spoke about those, didn't speak about them much, those cases in recent times where people, Christian leaders, have seem to have fallen greatly. That fall is not all of a sudden. It's not. It's a gradual drifting away. And then it becomes obvious. You know, when a man or woman falls, they don't fall far. Because they've fallen quite a bit already. It's the gradual decline down. So we need to be strict upon ourselves. That's not legalism. On ourselves and have self-reflection. And then on your teaching. What we believe is crucial. And for Timothy, what he taught was crucial. So what we believe is crucial. You know, there was false teaching clothed in biblical language in Timothy's day, and there is in our day. So keep a close watch on, if we're teaching, what we teach. Keep a close watch on what we listen to and be discerning. You know, Spurgeon, I think he was the original one on this quote. Discernment is not knowing the difference between truth and error. Discernment is knowing the difference between truth and nearly the truth. Nearly the truth. And so error can come. Timothy, keep a close watch. Because if you do it, if you persist in it, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You will save them from false teaching. You will save them from all the difficulties and loss of enjoyment that come from sinful behaviour. You know, sin robs and destroys from what we should enjoy. And Timothy, do these things, and you will have a saving impact on the people whom you serve. So three marks of a godly servant. We set an example in godly living. We serve with God-given gifts. And we strive to progress. May God just bless his word to us tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we come before you. We give thanks for your word. It speaks powerfully to each and every one of us, is a sure and certain word. And help us, Lord, to take the things that are true in accordance with your word tonight and not just forget them, but may, by the Spirit of God, may they be applied in our lives and may we be changed as a result. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.